Scripture found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. It says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." And last Sunday morning, the message was on the call. And Sunday night, the message was on responding to the call, our attitude and the response that the Lord is looking for when he calls us. And the part of the burden that the Lord put on my heart to share this afternoon is on being followers of Christ. And we're going to, Lord willing, continue to look into this scripture as the Lord leads, in the sense of the example and what it means to follow the example of Christ and what that means practically in our daily life. But if you will recall, and we read the scripture last Sunday, both morning and night, and I want to begin there again this afternoon in the fourth chapter of Matthew, when Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee and he saw Peter and John and James and Andrew, and he spoke to them, and his call was this: follow me. And later on, he walked by Matthew, where he was sitting at the seat of custom there, collecting taxes, and he gave Matthew a call as well, and it was the same thing. He said, follow me. And this afternoon, I want to put the emphasis on the me. Who are we following this afternoon? Why do you come to church here? Who are you following after during the week? Who are you trying to emulate? Who are you trying to please? Why do we decide where we go and where we don't, and how we dress and how we do, in the attitudes that we have, in the affections that we have? What is it that's shaping and molding those choices and those decisions? A lot of times people make those decisions because that's what my family does. And they make those decisions and choices because they said, well, if I don't do it, everybody in the congregation will not think I'm spiritual, so I guess I won't do it. Or what if somebody sees me? And that is what's shaping and molding their choices and decisions of life. That's called peer pressure. But I want us to know that Jesus this afternoon, it says, for even hereunto were ye called. Now remember, last Sunday I told you that the Lord is calling us specifically. He has a good plan in mind for us individually. And I would that we begin to shape and mold our lives in a way that it's not just because of my church. It's not just because of that's what mom and dad taught me. But that we would get our eyes on the Savior and know that he's saying, I want you to follow me. I am the one that died for you. I am the one that rose again. I am the one that's the Son of God. And he is the only one that can give us life this afternoon. We can come to church all we want. You're not going to find life until we have a resurrected life in Jesus. And so we need to recognize that the call for us today is that we be followers of Christ. In other words, not followers of the group just because it's the group. Not followers of this preacher, not followers of that preacher, but we are to be followers of Jesus Christ. This is basic this afternoon. But there have been many, many people and groups of people down through the church history that have lost the essence of this message and this experience. They have begun to be followers of group rather than followers of Christ. They've been followers of a certain preacher, and that's where their allegiance got so much to that preacher that when the preacher went the wrong way, the group, the congregation, and the individuals did also. So we need to remember that we are to be followers of Christ today. People are following after many things in the world. People are following the things that they're giving their heart to. And if you want to know where someone's heart is, all you have to do is look at where they spend their time and their money. And generally, you will know where their heart is, where their priorities are. You can judge scripturally. Jesus told us that by their fruit you would know them. He said where your heart is, or where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So then, let's not rationalize it in our own life and say, well, I'm a Christian, so God has my heart. That's the wrong approach. We need to look at our life and say, where are my affections? Where are my priorities? Where's my treasure? And that will tell us where our heart is. We are to be followers of Christ. Well, we are not Wesleyans today, are we? Who is Wesley? We say Wesleyans. Who are those people? Huh? Methodists. Followers of John and Charles Wesley, right? Had a lot of good things. Some good teaching on a second work of grace. But we're not Wesleyans today, are we? We teach a second work of grace. But are we Wesleyans? The truth that was taught there, but the only thing that gives them credibility is when we go back to the foundation of where it was, and that's when it's in the Bible. What about Lutherans? Who are Lutherans? They're followers of who? Of Martin Luther. The just shall live by faith. We're not saved by works, are we? I believe that. Does that make me a Lutheran? No. I want us to go another step. We are not Warnerites, are we? You know, that one would give some people some pause. What would be a Warnerite? Someone who's a follower of who? Of D.S. Warner. One of the primary truths that came out of that time period was what? It was a come out message. Come out of Babylon. Come out of all these different religions and followers of John Wesley. Don't be a follower of Martin Luther. But God's people, He has one bride. That truth is only true not because it came out of D.S. Warner's mouth in those Reformation. It is because I can go back to the author and the finisher of my faith, and I can see that that's what the Word of God says. And so just as I am not a Lutheran or a Wesleyan, I'm not a Warnerite tonight. I am called to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And what do you call followers of Christ? See, Lutherans are followers of Martin Luther. Wesleyans are followers of John and Charles Wesley. Warnerites would be those that esteem D.S. Warner in an elevated position and said, if he said it, I believe it, I'm going to do it. There's a form of idolatry in that, isn't there? Lutherans and Wesleyans, we feel comfortable preaching about it. But I'll tell you, there are people that get uncomfortable when you start saying it about D.S. Warner. He was a man of God, and I appreciate the truth that God gave to him. But folks, we were not called to follow D.S. Warner. Who are we called to follow? And what are peep followers of Christ called? Christians. There's a scripture in Acts in the 11th chapter. Let's turn and read it. In Acts, in the 11th chapter, in verse 26. It said, when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. This is the first place that people were called Christians. By definition, a Christian, it means follower of Christ. And we need to remember today that it means something to say, I am a Christian. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example. Who left the example? Christ. That we should follow in His steps. Folks, we are called to be Christians today. And unfortunately, there are many, many people that profess to be Christians. But when someone tells you they're a Christian, do you know it is a fair question to say, then you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You do what He did. You have the attitudes that He taught us to have. You bless those. You pray for those that persecute you and despitefully use you, and you love your enemies, and you go the second mile for those that don't treat you right. That's what you mean when you're a Christian. You forgive and you love and you're humble and you're gentle and you're saved. You're living free from sin. You believe that Christ is the head of the church because that's what the Bible says. So that's what you mean when you're a Christian. Do you know that's what we ought to mean when we say, I am a Christian? We are declaring that I am a follower of Christ. If he says it, I believe it, and by the help of God, that's how I'm going to live. But the name Christian has been polluted because of the world. I may relate to this. One of my professors, the university, told me one time, he was from China, actually. And I was talking to him, he said, I don't understand all of these churches. Everybody says they're Christians, but they're all different and they don't get along. I had another very highly intelligent mathematics professor tell me he didn't put a lot of stock in Christianity. He said they live the same way. They go to church on Sunday, but they're like the rest of us on Monday. That's what the world sees as Christians. Someone that just kind of claims Christ, but lives like they want to live. I want to remind us this afternoon, we have a high heavenly calling, and it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And when we go out in the world and we say, I am a Christian, may by our life we dispel all of the doubts and the criticisms that people have on those that call themselves Christian, and they can say, they're really different. Why are you different? It's because I'm a follower of Christ. It's because when the Bible says it, I believe God really meant what He said. And I know it's hard sometimes, and I know my flesh wants to go a different way, but I made a commitment, I'm going to follow Jesus. And He said, this is the way. This is how I want you to live. And so that's why I'm living like I'm living. That's why I choose to conduct myself like I do. It's because I'm a follower of Christ. You know, that's what God's calling us to. We're Christians, folks. That's what we're to be as Christians. But are we following Christ? Are there areas in our life that the Lord's saying, would you follow me? Follow me as opposed to someone, as opposed to a group. The scripture in Hebrews 3:1, it says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. We have a high calling. Consider the apostle. There ought to be danger signs when you find a man setting himself up as the authority of God's earthly church. It's what the Pope did, but you know there's a lot of little popes running around. And I want to warn us, and I trust you'll understand my burden this afternoon. You may say this is basic and we know all this, but folks, the devil has a trap laid here. We are followers of Christ. And whether it's me or any other minister, you begin to see them exalting themselves into a place of authority that is not given of God, that supersedes the individual authority of the Holy Spirit in people's lives, the warning signs ought to be going off. We are called to be followers of Christ. Consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession. Folks, Christ is our priest. And whenever you find a man, a minister, anybody that begins to teach and promote for you to be part of the church, you've got to pretty much come through me. That's a false prophet. And it doesn't matter if you have known them and known their parents and known their grandparents and they've been steady, stable saints of God. Anytime a man takes that on himself, he's a false prophet. And that's why it's important for us to remember who we're called. Follow me, Jesus is saying. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Folks, I have no life to give to anybody today. All I can do is point you to the one that can work a miracle in your life. All I can do is point you to this one that loved you and died for you and rose again, that we could have a resurrected life. But folks, none of us have that power today. We can't give that. Salvation isn't ours to give. And anytime you find a man or a group that promotes that doctrine, God is not in it. God's blessings are not on it. Now, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians in the first chapter, begin reading with verse 11. We dealt with this part of this in prayer meeting the other night. This subject about some are spiritual and some are carnal. And in verse 11, Let's move down here to verse 3. He said, ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one said, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not yet carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Folks, and then going down to verse 11, he said, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. It is carnality for one to say, I'm of Paul. Another says, I'm of Apollos. Question is, where are you? Can this ever happen to us in the saints? Can this ever happen? Well, brother so-and-so, we let allegiance go to a minister. And we can start to follow after a minister till where we can become blind and our ears become stopped to the voice of the Holy Spirit. This was not a criticism of Paul or Apollos here, folks. I want us to know that. But he was reminding the people, don't follow after the man. Be a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, our decisions then should be based on truth, folks. Too many times people have given their allegiance to a group. You are my people. And you know this afternoon, you are my people? I'll say that. You are my people. But I will also say this. If you stop following Christ, you're no longer going to be my people. And I want to tell you this. If I stop following Christ and you see me leaving and going the wrong way, you can tell me it's time for me to leave. You don't need me up here preaching to you if I have chosen to go a different direction. He wasn't criticizing Paul himself or Apollos here, but he said, don't forget, he said, you're followers of Christ. He said, that's the only foundation that is laid. And while we respect and we esteem those that labor among us, was it Paul said, we'll just mention it. He said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me. You say, wait, is that contradictory now? He said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. How can I know if Paul's following Christ unless I get to know Christ for myself? See? We must have our eyes set on Christ, following Him as opposed to a man or a group. And God's people are important. He spoke of this later on in the down in the passage in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians as well. And he told them, he said, if you're followers of, some say you're of Paul and some of Apollos, he said, you're yet carnal. And Paul and Apollos were both Holy Ghost-filled men of God. But they were saying, that's who I'm a follower of. And that's why I want to bring us back down to this very basic truth. We are to be Christians. Followers of Jesus Christ. And in the past, I have seen, and folks, I want us to know it's still happening and it will happen in the future. There are people that they begin to give their allegiance and their to men. And so, say one of my children, let's say, for example, one of my children started to preach in the future. And say they got off, okay? And they started promoting themselves and the ways of the flesh in their own way. You come up and say, well, Brother Michael, I'm really concerned. I say, that's my boy. That's my boy. You just leave him alone. That's carnal. What have I done? Because I have a familial relationship with my son, I say, you just leave him alone. While they're out spreading false doctrine and things that aren't true. Where's our allegiance supposed to be? I've seen the same thing happen with groups of people. This is my congregation. This is my congregation. And people in the congregation, where the pastor starts to deviate, go a wrong direction. And we become so enamored with the leadership that I just can't see the truth anymore. Because, brother, my pastor, he's a good man. Maybe he is a good man, but folks, if he stops following Christ, our call is to be followers. A group cannot save us. A congregation cannot save us. It's important for us to have fellowship, folks. We need fellowship. We need to meet together and come together that we can encourage one another, be edified, and that's God's plan. But I want to say this, we will do ourselves damage when we let our allegiance go so far that it's to people and we have to sacrifice being a follower of Christ to do it. So our priorities as we meet together, folks, it always needs to come to the same place. Our desire and purpose, you know, what binds us together in fellowship is that we're all following Jesus Christ. I trust you get the burden this afternoon in the message. Peer pressure is real. And it's important who we're interested in who our children spend time with. It's important for all of us. You know, we will, to a certain extent, start to act like the people we choose to be around all the time. You say, no, I'm different. No, you're not. You will start acting like, to a certain extent, we are all affected by the people we choose to be around. Now, we need to be a follower of Christ so much that we can go out into the world, see? And we can be a friend to the sinner like Jesus was, and we can maintain our integrity with God. But at the same time, when you get into an intimate fellowship with people, they're going to have an effect on you. Well, just as we teach our children and should teach our children, be careful of who you choose to be your companions, we also need to be careful that, but do you know that we can be prone to peer pressure among us as godly people too? And you know, some of that's good. I mean, I want to be affected by godly people. I want to be affected in a good way by other godly people. But my warning and caution is here. The herd mentality can overtake our thinking sometimes to where we stop listening for the voice of God and we stop coming back to the basics and saying, what does the Bible say about it? Because it's good for us to be zealously affected by each other. Don't go home and say, I preach differently than that. But I want us to understand that while we are to encourage and meet together, it is important that we're always coming back to this foundation. Because there are people then all of a sudden they wake up one day in a spiritual sense and they say, why aren't I doing these things? Why don't I go those places? Why don't I dress this way? Why don't I do those things? Oh, it's the group. They've just always said it's wrong. I don't think you have to do that. And they have no foundation upon which they're building their life. We must go beyond what is taught among us as a people, folks, and get it for ourselves with God. Don't discount the truth that's taught. By the help of the Lord, what's taught is going to be what Christ taught, what the Bible teaches. And the only way you can be able to, your heart, say amen to what's even being preached today is if thus saith the Word of God, if it's backed up. If I start teaching any other thing, don't let me get away with it, folks. And I'm going to say it, don't let me or anybody else, in other words, in your heart, be a follower of Christ. But if you do something just because I said it, and you don't seek God for yourself, and you know what the Bible teaches, and you know what the Lord is calling from you, you're not going to have a very strong foundation. And if I change, does that mean you're going to change? If you really believed it, why would you change? You see why it's important for us to be grounded in truth. We're Christians. We're followers of Christ. Because if the herd goes wrong, talking about the herd mentality, I've seen, y'all know cows a lot better than I do, but you know, driving along, you see that one cow heads off somewhere, maybe the heat, and pretty soon they're like playing follow the leader. And it's because you get one or two headed in the direction you want, and everybody's going to follow. Do you think that doesn't happen among God's people sometimes? And you say, why are we doing this? You've heard the story about the lady that had the roast or a ham. She didn't cook the ham. I'll go ahead and tell you. You're saying you've heard. I'll tell it again. The man was married and his wife was going to cook the ham or the roast. And he said, you've got to cut that thing in two and you need to cut that thing in half. She said, why? I said, why do that? He said, because that's the way my mom did it and her grandma. And that's the way they taste the best if you cut them in half. So she thought, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. And she called up her mother-in-law and said, why do you cut it in half? And she said, I don't know. But my mom cooked them that way, and they were always the best done that way. So she called Grandma. Why do you cut the rose in half? She said, well, honey, I never had a pan big enough to put the whole thing in. And so that's why she'd been cutting her roast or ham in half. Kind of a herd mentality. I'll just do it because it's everybody else is doing it. Folks, we need to know why we believe what we believe. We need to know why we live like we live. We need to know why we've chosen not to go to some places. And why we've chosen to sanctify our homes. And you say, oh, I haven't done that. What does the Lord want? You say, well, I know the church kind of, most people do that. But do you know, I'm going to tell you something. Parents, get hold of this and you teach your children. You can't any longer tell your children, just get a good companion. Go to Monarch and you find a good girl or a good boy there. I can't tell my boys that. You know why? Because there's a mixed multitude now. So you find someone that's a follower of Christ. It's not enough that they go to camp meeting at the same place. It's not enough that they go to a congregation that we have historically fellowshiped with through the years. That's not enough, folks. And I'm not preaching against anybody, but I'm preaching be followers of Christ. We need to do the same thing then. Because see, we can be led in a fanatical way. We can be led in a compromised way unless we get our eyes on Jesus and say, Lord, help me. And again, we can be positively affected by one another. Folks, I'm not preaching against that. We need that. Zealously affected, but what that should do is always bring us into a closer relationship with God. Why do we live like we do? Well, it's just because the church has always not done that, or that's what we've always done. Folks, we're living in a time people are questioning things more than they used to. I will say from my understanding 50 years ago, 60 years ago, people were content with the preacher saying, don't do that or do this. And people, okay, we'll do that. And people are a little easier to kind of follow, you know, just do what was taught. We're living in a time people are saying, why? I'm not afraid to deal with the question of why this afternoon. But I will say, on the other side of that, when people start questioning it as an outlet to live after the flesh, right there they lost it. Those that are carnal will not understand the things of the Spirit. There are things that I choose to abstain from in my life and things God has called me to, and I have reason for it. I can give scripture, and I know what the Lord has said, and I know the wise way to live. I'm not saying on everything, the Lord's still teaching me to, but I'm saying on things that God has revealed. And I'm not afraid to address those issues, but if you find someone that's looking for an excuse to do differently, and they're going to live after the flesh, they'll find an excuse, and then they'll say, well, that's just the church, that's not what the Bible teaches. But they're safety, folks. But we need to get a hold of God and we need to know what the Bible teaches. We need to know why we live like we do. When our children say, why can't I go there? Well, the church just teaches against it. Parents, we need to do better than that. Well, and then they say, oh, I thought that, why does that preacher say you shouldn't do that? We're going home doing it all the time. Something's wrong, isn't it? Say, well, that's just a difference of opinion. Be careful there too, folks. Is it opinion or is there wisdom in what's being taught? We are all free moral agents, and I know there are going to be some things among God's people that there's going to be some minor differences sometime. Notice I said minor. You're going to find the intent and purpose of followers of Christ is always going to be, Lord, I want to be safe. I want to raise my children in a way that will give, that will be conducive to godliness and to holiness. Didn't know I was going to say all that. Trust the Lord will bless us this afternoon. He said in closing in Philippians in the second chapter in the 12th verse, he said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, he's saying, get back to the basics and follow Christ. And let my life, Paul's saying, let my life be a blessing to you. Let me be an encouragement and a help. And you know, don't discount the wisdom and the instruction that I'm giving. But he's saying, you're also going to have to work out your own salvation because Paul can't give us salvation. Folks, the ministry today has no salvation to offer you except what's through Jesus Christ. as a body, as a congregation this afternoon, and I will say I have seen the enemy at work in the past, and he's not letting up. And as time goes on, there you will find that more and more there is going to be a division in how people are living, and some of it is going to be because this is the one that I'm lined up behind. And what they decide, what they do, that's what I'm going to do. And I want to encourage us today, for even here unto where ye called, this is part of our calling now, is to be a follower of Christ. And folks, if we will follow Christ in this life, one of these days we're going to follow right on up to glory. I trust, Lord, to bless you. I want to be a follower of Christ. I want to be a Christian. Amen.